Okay, good evening everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called Activate Your Light Body. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a few moments from now I'll be introducing our very special guest, Almira Ariel Hilaire. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Almira a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through our site by you, our listeners, prior to the call. Now, I just wanted to actually share up front on this call how important this particular call is to me. A big part of my story is the fact that I guess around 5.5 years ago, I had a near-death car crash. And I guess through that car crash, I had a real deep spiritual opening. And I probably spent the first couple of years or 2 or 3 years really struggling to navigate this new spiritual awareness that I'd had as a result of that incident. And I guess that new level of awareness brought many, many different challenges in terms of actually really negotiating the world that I used to be a part of. And I found that lots of things started to fall or break down. Like I could no longer work in the corporate world. I had a relationship that I was in for 5 or 6 years that broke down. I found it very challenging to communicate with old friends and family members who were trying to communicate with an old part of me. I guess lots of different challenges of actually negotiating the new terrain and reorientating myself in life with this new spiritual way of being, and particularly given the fact that up until that moment in my life, I really hadn't considered myself to be a spiritual being at all. Now, I guess more recently, I've been very fortunate to actually work with Almira and people like Almira whose role in the world is actually to help people open up to their real divine nature and their own spiritual nature as well. And Almira has been very, very supporting and has imparted a lot of wisdom to me that's really had a profound impact on my own spiritual deepening of that journey as well. So I'm very, very excited about actually welcoming her to the call and actually discussing this very, very important subject matter this evening. So I welcome you to the call. Almira, how are you doing?
Hi, thank you, Damien. Thank you for inviting me. And I know I can't hear all of the people who are listening, but I just want to say thank you for listening, and I hope that I'll be able to share something that will be useful with you. I've been working with people for 12 years now in spiritual work, and It's a never expanding journey of always learning more and experiencing more and surrendering more, so I can be of greater and greater assistance.
Oh.
So yeah, I'm good, Damien.
That's great.
I'm a bit nervous, to be honest.
It is an absolute pleasure to have you on the call this evening, Almira. Now, Almira, I thought I'd actually begin the call by actually just exploring what is light body and how do you actually activate it?
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say that in the spiritual world, in the world of personal development, often the same word is used for many different things. And the word light body is often meant in the context of all the energy bodies that we have around us, which constitute our aura. And some people have called these bodies different names, such as the etheric body, the emotional body, the mental body, etc. However, in the context within which I'm talking tonight, the light body means something else. And in this sense, the light body means our fifth dimensional body, which is beyond duality. It's like our divine body. And basically, it is like the divine self, the divine, it's also called the Adam Kadmon, which is the divine image of man. and it resides in the higher dimensions. And what we're working here, what we're doing here is we're trying to embody that. We're trying to embody that higher frequency at a human level. That's what the whole work of light body is, and the whole work of light body activation is, in a nutshell, really.
Mm. Well, now I actually didn't mention in the introduction, Almira, that you are a qualified medical doctor, and you went through a spiritual awakening yourself, and I was just wondering if you could actually share a little bit more about your story and how you actually came to do this work.
Yes, of course. Well, it takes me back quite a long way, really. It started off when I was a little girl, and I always had a sense that I wanted to help the world and help humanity. But I grew up in a family with scientists around me. My father was a scientist, and so the logical step for me was to become a doctor, if you like, because that was the only sort of niche that I could see myself in. And so I started medicine, when I finished school and continued and so on. And I loved medicine and I loved working with people. However, there was a part of me who was very inquisitive about the truth, and I had a very philosophical mind, and I used to read philosophy books, and I had an alternative uncle, my godfather also, Gravier, and he used to always send me these amazing books about healers and doctors who'd gone off and become healers. And he'd also send me these books about healing and transformation and spiritual growth, and I was reading these books, and I was very, very interested in them. And then something started budding in me that I could become a GP and I could be also an alternative GP. So I could be a healer at the same time. But the more and more and the more I went into my GP world, the more I realized it wasn't going to happen for me. It wasn't going to happen within the medical model. There wasn't space for me to do all the other things I wanted. And then the other thing is, while I was studying medicine, I was also going for some healing myself, because I had some personal issues that I wanted to heal. I had some traumatic experiences from my childhood which caused me to feel depressed for a lot of my teenage years. And I also had an eating disorder. And I knew what the medical treatments were for these things, and I didn't think they were going to help me. So I was going to healers, and one particular healer, I was attending very powerful healing groups with him. And while I was in one of the groups, I had a massive opening, a massive awakening. I experienced my whole spine opening, like the energy in my spine opening, and this huge energy coming into my body, and a real strong sense of overwhelming love and connection and divinity. And it was my first, I suppose, spiritual opening.
Wow.
And it had a big effect on me. I couldn't stay in the medical world anymore after that.
Wow.
I came back to Ireland, and I was sitting in my surgery thinking, what am I doing here? And so I sort of extricated myself from the medical world quite quickly after that, within about a month. And I had no idea what I was going to do, really. I had no plan. I had no savings. And a couple of weeks after that, I was sitting in a coffee shop, and again, I had one of these, well, for want of a better word, it was like a download. I felt my crown chakra open, and all this energy came into my body. And with it, there was a very strong sense of knowing that what I was to do was to start doing spiritual healing and spiritual work with people. So I wrote out these little leaflets, and I started spiritual healing. I had no idea what I was doing at a mental level, but there was this enormous energy coming through me and this healing energy that was coming through me. And I think you were also asking me, how did I, you know, experience the light body symptoms? Was that what you wanted to ask me also, Damien?
How did you actually come to do the light body work?
Ah, okay. Well, a few years once I was as a healer, you know, I developed my healing practice and so on, and then I met my ex-husband, Nicholas. And I had a very strong sense that I had to work with him. And I had had all these weird symptoms for at least a couple of years prior to meeting Nicholas. And when I read his brochure, I thought, oh, my God, someone actually knows what I'm going through. I have all these funny symptoms. So I went to see Nicholas and had all the light body work, and it was a revelation. And then very soon after that, Nicholas and I became an item, if you like. And he started training me as a light body practitioner.
Right.
And he himself learned the light body integration work in America. And it was channeled through a lady called Tashira Tashiren. She's now called Zeraziel, actually, but she's a pretty amazing lady. She channeled this whole body of work. Very, very pure channel. So that's how I came to it. So I've been doing light body activation work now for about 10 years. Yeah.
Wow. Now, you said something that certainly resonated so much with my own journey. Like, I really got the sense that I could no longer work in the corporate world after that experience. And I guess because you work with so many people who are opening up to their divine spiritual nature, Amira, is that something that's common for people who go through these kind of openings to really feel a sense of disconnect with their previous occupations and then move to opening towards, I guess the interesting thing you said there, with just the decision wasn't a mental one, it's almost like that real intuitive guidance to do something that's more aligned with who they are.
That's right, yes. Well, yes, this happens all the time for people who are undergoing, you know, some kind of spiritual awakening, and it can be very disorientating because the mind is wanting to know, well, why am I doing this and why am I changing like this, and it can be very scary, and there's a sense of wanting to leave the old world, but also not knowing, well, what's ahead then. And it's a scary place. It requires a lot of courage to make the leap because you're literally leaping into the unknown. And what's required is enormous courage, but also to trust the process, to trust that there is a guidance here, to trust the intuition coming to you, to trust the feelings in your body that are saying, yes, I really need to get out of this corporate job, or I really need to get out of this situation here. Because intuition comes through our feelings. Yeah. So our feelings are telling us what's good for us and what's not good for us. But our feelings are not always rational or logical, in fact. And as I mentioned earlier on, you know, when I left medicine, I had no plan and I had no savings. And, you know, the reality is, yes, you do need money to live in this world. So, yes, it's quite a leap of faith. And, yeah, I know many people, and I've seen many, many of my clients going through this transition. And personally, I was very lucky that I had many people around me who had already made that transition. And who kind of coached me through it, and they said, oh, it'll be okay, just trust. And they were right, actually. The more you trust, the more it's okay. But in a sense, you do need some people to reassure you, or you need to know that it can be done, or you need to have seen someone who has already done it for the mind to kind of rest in peace and go, okay, we'll do it then.
Excellent. Now, one of the things I've found really curious about I guess, opening up to my own intuitive impulses. It's almost like the work that I do, like I, in a sense, being intuitively guided, often the awareness comes far beyond anything that I've ever heard before or beyond things that I've been formally taught before. And I was just wondering, like, is that something you've experienced as well, Amira, just in terms of just the whole notion of being qualified to do this work but feeling almost like infinitely qualified just based on your own real deep intuitive guidance?
Yes, and this is a complete paradox. In fact, I experience it on a daily basis. In most of the work that I do in my sessions with my clients or when I'm teaching, I'm often urged to do something that I feel I've never done this before, and I feel like, well, I have no training in this. And I often wonder, well, why am I doing this sometimes? My mind wonders why. But there is such a strong knowing, and because I've worked with this knowing now for 12 years, I've learned to trust it implicitly. So it seems like, there's a little part of my mind that's still going, oh my God, we're not doing this, are we? But then there's another part of me who's going, yes, yes, that's what we're doing today. And the inevitable result is always perfect. It's way beyond what I could have thought of, you know, with all my education and all the advice that I could ever receive from anyone. It's the most sound truth that comes true. Mm. And what I want to say is that everyone has access to that.
Mm.
Everyone has access to that level of knowing and that level of truth. And the way it opens is by keeping trusting it. That's the miracle of it. And it's a real leap of faith. It's like that tarot card where you see the fool, you know, jumping off the cliff.
That's one of my favorite cards in the tarot deck, actually, the fool.
Yeah.
I love it.
And he's walking off into empty space, and he's trusting that somehow there's going to be something under his foot.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's how it is with spiritual guidance. It's just keeping trusting. And it's like living on the edge as well.
Mm.
And in a way, when you're living on the edge, that's the place where you grow the most.
Mm.
And that's the place where there's the most expansion, and it's also the place where there's the most opportunity and the most space for creativity to unfold.
Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I love living on that edge, and I'm always encouraging people to keep doing that.
Mm.
Yeah. It's scary, but it's also great.
Mm. I know from my personal experience, that's where I feel most alive, where just being on the edge and really pushing the boundaries of everything that I know and understand, and it really just living in that space is really quite phenomenal.
Mm. And often the understanding at the mental level comes later. Have you noticed that, Damien?
Mm. Yeah, there's a good video Steve Jobs did, actually, and he was talking about joining the dots of life, and it's often only in hindsight that you can actually join the dots looking backwards, and it's almost like it's impossible to join them looking forwards. And
yeah.
I know from my, I guess, my own spiritual awakening, it probably took me 2 or 3 years to even realize that the car crash was a significant opening for me. It was almost like 2 or 3 years down the line I had the opportunity to look back and try and work out why was I such a different human being to the one I used to know. And to actually trace it to that moment.
Yeah. Yes. And that's the paradox, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Now, one thing that lots of people who are interested in personal development and spirituality are talking about these days is 2012. And I guess, like, I really was just wondering if you could actually tie that into the ascension process as well that we mentioned in the call promo, and give people a bit of guidance why so many people these days are becoming more open and actually going through these kinds of spiritual openings as well.
Okay. Well, the way I see it is that in the beginning there was God, and God was everything, and God knew everything, and but God wanted to experience more of itself. And so God turned itself into itself, literally inside out, and thus the manifestation and the creation emerged. And so all the dimensions were created from the highest frequency of the divine to the very lowest frequencies, which is what we as humans experience, the third dimension of being more or less disconnected from divinity and from spirit. And so this whole process is a process of creation, and it can also be called an outbreath of God. And at the moment, what we're experiencing is an in-breath of God. And the furthest disconnection we've experienced in 1989, when there was a harmonic convergence, and the, if you like, the destiny of humanity turned around through this collective effort when so many light workers meditated together, and it turned the course of history. And now we're going back towards the source. But it's a little bit like when you stretch an elastic band. When you let it go, it twangs back really fast. So what we're going through at the moment is we're going through this pinging back of the elastic, if you like.
Mm.
And of course, we're seeing it in vast numbers of people waking up, and this whole movement of light workers and personal development and people wanting to do things in a more creative way, in a more intuitive way, in a more heart-based way. And this is happening at a mass level.
Mm.
Now, I heard an interesting statistic recently that there are as many healers as there are doctors in England.
Wow.
Which says an awful lot.
That's
yeah?
Amazing.
It is amazing. And of course, this is global, what's going on. It's not just in Britain.
Mm.
And so there's this massive raising in frequency of people. I heard you briefly talk about power versus force, and of course David Hawkins describes the levels of consciousness, and that's what's going on for people. But in the past, people used to wake up really slowly or grow really slowly.
Mm.
Like you know, David Hawkins says, oh, maybe you drop 5 points on the consciousness scale in a lifetime.
Mm.
But now it's not 5 points in a lifetime, it's 5 points a month, you know, which is an awful lot for a human to embody and to integrate at a human level in your life. Yeah?
Mm,
and so people are going through these massive, massive breakthroughs in consciousness and literally jumping from one place of living in fear and then, you know, finding themselves just maybe 2 or 3 years later in a completely different reality where they're basing all their decisions on love and service and truth. And that is a massive paradigm shift.
Mm.
And of course, that will be very disorientating at a human level. And there might be some very uncomfortable symptoms and, you know, uncomfortable phases like, you know, losing most of your friends. And like we talked about earlier on, you know, feeling like you can't be in the corporate world anymore and all those sorts of things. And that's what I'm seeing happening, that 2012 is literally the... We're moving into a place of living out of love and living in truth and love. That's what's going on.
Mm.
And of course, because of the 100th monkey syndrome, one person who wakes up and one person who lives in their heart has a massive effect around them, and that keeps happening. So it's an exponential thing.
Mm.
Now. You know, there are more and more people embodying truth and embodying the love that they are, and that's having a knock-on effect on all the people around them.
Mm.
Yeah? Like, for example, you know, when I first had my little spiritual awakening that I described earlier on, and I started doing my healing groups, my mom and dad were complete atheists and agnostics and so on. But they were quite distressed that I'd left medicine. One day they decided to come to one of my healing groups. But I think they wanted just to see what the hell I was doing. But both of them had a massive spiritual experience as a result of coming to the group and sitting in that energy.
Mm.
And my father rang me a few days after, and he said to me, you know this thing of talking to spirit and asking for healing and that, can I do it? And I said to him, of course you can, everyone can. He had a complete turnaround, and since then he meditates every day, he's in contact
wow.
with his guides. You know, and when he has a problem, he goes and asks spirits about it.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, so if someone like my dad can wake up, you know, everyone can.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I see it happening all the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
I certainly see, like, in my work as well, like, it's like people are waking up. It's almost like... I really resonated with what you said before, like moving 5 points in a month. It's almost like every single day I'm a complete new human being. It's almost like it can be a little disorientating, not recognizing the guy you were yesterday or the person you were yesterday.
That's right.
Because the growth is so quick and so profound. And I know for lots of friends of mine who are on this path, it's almost like they feel this real urge to grow as quickly as they possibly can at the moment. And not really consciously knowing why.
That's right. There's a very strong... It's like a push from the spirit pushing us forward because there's this kind of deadline, really.
Mm.
That 2012 deadline. And we're trying to raise frequency as much as possible so that we can go through the shift consciously and not lose all the memory. Because normally when there is an ascension... many souls lose consciousness. And the whole point of 2012 is that we're going to go through consciously. We're going to remember. We're going to remember what it was like to be disconnected while being in a place of immense connection. And that's the whole point of 2012.
Wow. That's very, very powerful. Now, Amira, one of the things that we had a really phenomenal response around was the symptoms. Now, I think the copy actually really, really resonated with people, and I know that there were a lot of symptoms that we didn't even mention in the call promo either, but I was just wondering if you could actually give people a heads up in terms of symptoms that they may be experiencing as a result of this whole waking up process.
Yeah, this is a big, big subject. And the first thing I want to say is I want to reassure everyone who's going through this phase that you're not going mad and it's all okay. I remember when it started for me 12 years ago, I was very frightened actually because I had a lot of very unusual symptoms. I had a lot of headaches and dizziness and disorientation and tingling and numbness and my vision was going all weird and my memory was going all weird and I was quite frightened.
Mm.
And I none of my symptoms fitted into any medical, any problem. So, yeah. So I'm going to go through the symptoms just to, and put them in the context of light body as well.
Mm.
Because we touched on a little bit about what light body is, but as part of the experience of being disconnected from spirit, there are some energy structures in our energy fields which cause the illusion or cause the sense of being just human as opposed to being divine. And these energy structures, that's what their purpose is their purpose is to make us experience ourselves as just human, being limited, being disconnected. And that was for the purpose of exploring being human. But of course, now that that's done, because we completed that, then we're all going back to experiencing being divine. And as a result, those energy structures are kind of no longer needed. And as more and more light is downloading, from the higher dimensions and from the higher self and from the oversoul into the physicality, those energy structures are literally overloading and they're causing lots of uncomfortable symptoms. So for a start, there are There are a set of energy crystals that are mostly around the head and in the upper body, and they cause a lot of headaches and a lot of pain in the neck and in the shoulders and in the spine. And then there are also some energy structures which are around the lower back and the pelvis, and they cause ungroundedness, and they cause kind of a feeling of disconnection from everything. And they can also cause lots of blockages in creativity and numbness, and they can also cause depression, actually, and a kind of low-level anxiety, which many people experience. Like, in the background, there's always a little bit of anxiety, which is very uncomfortable. And then you can have some past life structures, which, you know, different people can have different ones. So, for example, you can have a structure around your neck that causes you to feel very nervous speaking in front of people, or you can have a past life structure that's like an armor, which makes you feel that life is a battle, and that you have to fight all the time. Many light workers have that. And there are all sorts of different types of energy structures that create different illusions in our mind and in our perceptions and limit us in different ways, and they can all cause very uncomfortable symptoms in the body, but also emotionally and mentally, in the sense of different fears or different phobias, or for example, all those energy structures, they also block our higher functions. So they block our clairaudience, our clairvoyance, our clairsentience, our telepathy. Of course, they don't block them 100%, because otherwise there'd be no clairvoyance on the earth. But they block them to a certain degree. Yeah. And of course, part of the light body activation work is removing all those energy structures, so you open up more. And then you get all sorts of other funny symptoms, which are caused by the brain literally mutating from a linear way of thinking, which is, you know, yesterday I did this, today I'm doing that, tomorrow I'm doing that, which is how most people function. And of course we need a linear mind to plan our day. But the brain is literally mutating from that way of thinking to what we call whole brain thinking. And in whole brain thinking, you just get a sense of just sudden knowing. Like you get a whole, what's called a whole gestalt, where there's a whole concept that comes at you in one go. And it's nearly like it's spherical. You know, the concept, it's spherical. It's quite hard to describe, because here I'm using English as a linear language. How do you describe the non-linear with the linear? So it's an experience. When you have whole brain thinking, it's like you get a whole experience coming to you in one go. Yeah. And that's how telepathy works. Yeah. So the brain is mutating, and that can cause memory disturbances, where you can't remember anything, or you can't even remember what you did yesterday, and can also cause the feeling of you can't project forward in time. You can't actually think ahead, oh, what I'm doing next month or next 6 months, and next year is completely blank. Yeah. Whereas in the past, we used to be masters at organizing our life. And also, there can be a sense of inability to communicate what you really want to say, or an inability to understand what people are really saying. So a lot of people are having all these funny brain symptoms and thinking they've got early Alzheimer's, but they don't. It's just the brain mutating. It's actually a good sign. Yeah. And then, of course, you can have déjà vu, you know, a lot of déjà vu, which is when you have a strong sense of having had this before, this experience before. And basically, déjà vu is when the parallels are all merging together. And the parallels are basically when, in every point, if you imagine in every point, in every moment, there is a choice to follow spirit or not to follow spirit. And every point, every moment where we don't follow spirit, we create another parallel. So there are many, many thousands of parallels that are all slightly different, where we all chose a slightly different choice. And of course, because of the ascension process where we're all merging back into one, then of course all those parallels have to come back into one. And that's part of the uncomfortable symptoms that we're getting as well, when we have literally parallel mergers. And that can be part of the disorientation, because all these parts of us that literally went off are coming back to oneness. Yeah. And that can cause a lot of like, if you like, deja vu experience, but also like feeling quite disorientated. Like you were saying, I don't know who I am.
Yeah.
I don't know who I was yesterday.
And sometimes it can be, I don't know who I was this morning.
Yeah.
Great. Well, that certainly gives people lots of insight onto on the symptoms. And I know for me personally, like, I've experienced quite a number of those, particularly, like, I could really relate to the, I guess, before the opening for me, like, I was constantly living in the future and planning the future and dreaming about the future. And it's almost like I spent my whole life in the future. And since going through that experience, it's almost like it's brought me back to being present to life as it unfolds on a day-by-day basis. And definitely, like, the timekeeping as well. Like, I think all my friends will attest to this, that my timekeeping is getting worse with time. And just really that whole linear way of doing things and just following structured processes have become more and more challenging for me, I must admit. But I guess in replacement of that is that, like, I really like what you shared about just being able to really have that deep knowing and downloading very complex knowledge into your being almost instantaneously. And there are lots of benefits of really opening to this as well.
Yeah. I see it happening all the time. You know, like some of my clients who've been through this process, you know, in a half an hour of just opening, there might be this massive download of creativity, and a whole new structure for what they're going to do in life comes in. Like, you know, one of my friends recently said to me, oh, what I really want to do is run groups to help women to become empowered and to overcome, you know, the trauma of being sexually abused. Mm. And that just came to her in a flash, literally, in a global thought, just like that.
Wow.
And of course, that's going to inspire her and keep her busy for a while.
Yeah. Great. Now, Amira, I mentioned earlier on that we've had lots of questions that have come in as well. And I was just wondering if I could ask you a few now.
Yes, of course.
I'm just going to ask one from Daryl Louise in the UK. And Daryl Louise asks, how do you actually know that you are experiencing a spiritual awakening?
Well, that's a very good question, Daryl. And the key word there is experience, because a spiritual awakening is an experience. So it's a subjective thing, and it's a deeply personal thing. And when you're having a spiritual awakening, you feel it. You experience it inside yourself. You feel different about things, or you know things in a different way. Or you might experience something that you knew already in a completely new way. Like, for example, you might look at the sun, something that you've looked at every day of your life, and in that moment you can experience the full marvel and beauty of what the sun is giving to Earth on a moment-to-moment basis, and experience a deep, deep gratitude for what the sun does. So my sense is that actually spiritual awakening is something that people are experiencing all the time. And it's about being present to it and being there with it. And it comes through the senses often. It can come through the mind as well, in a flash of, if you like, a flash of understanding or a flash of intuition or a flash of realization. But more often than not, it comes through the heart, through the feeling body, where you experience a deep, deep feeling about something. And it's usually, there's a lot of love there, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of compassion, there's a lot of expansion. But it doesn't mean that when you're having a spiritual awakening that there are no negative feelings. That is not true. Because on the path of spiritual growth, if you're growing very, very fast, as we mentioned earlier on, the old programming that's in the cells that we got from our ancestors and so on, the old programming of fear, is still in our cells, and that has to be shaken out, literally. And so part of the spiritual awakening is also like a shaking out of the fear programming. So there can be experiences of deep bliss and deep unity. And then in the next moment, you can be experiencing utter terror and anxiety. So you can be having all of it. And the key thing that I would like to share about all these experiences is that the most important thing and the most important attitude to have in those experiences is an attitude of surrender. And the more you surrender to the experience, be it bliss or be it all-overwhelming terror, the more it expands you. And the more easy it is. It's when we resist. When we resist, that's when it's hard. Yeah.
Excellent. It's certainly been my experience as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Great. Okay. This one's from Josiane in France. And Josiane asks, how do I integrate all the different aspects of my light body on a physical level?
Well, Josiane, that is a fantastic question, and it is also a huge question, because what you're really asking is, how do I ascend? How do I bring my six-dimensional Adam Kadmon and my fifth-dimensional light body into the physical? And the answer is to keep raising the frequency of the physical body. And in order to keep raising the frequency of the physical body, there are many things that help and many things that work. Eating very high-frequency food and blessing your food and so on is going to help. Doing some form of exercise that opens up the meridians and opens up the energy flow in the body will also help. So things like Tai Chi and yoga and Qigong and the martial arts, all of those things, that's what they're for, actually. They're for raising the frequency of the body so that you can bring more consciousness in the body. And then, well, I think the main thing is that when you're wanting to have more consciousness, there is an intention and a dedication with that. And that dedication is a 24/7 thing. So if your intent is to become more conscious, it's about being in that intent all the time. So choosing in a moment by moment, always the higher choice, always the highest option. So basing all your decisions and all your actions on love and truth. And that is much easier said than done. So it's about being very present, and when we notice that, when we notice that we're in fear, it's about being present with that and allowing the fear to go. And of course, healing helps a lot with that. And sometimes you need a helping hand with someone to hold the space for that. And it's about keeping choosing. Yeah, like I said, keeping choosing the highest option. Am I going to do this out of fear, or am I going to do it out of love? Because it's not so much the action that creates an outcome. It's the intent behind the action.
Mm. Mm. One of my favorite quotes from Einstein is that a problem cannot be resolved at the level it was created. And I think just moving up and looking at any problem through the eyes of love or the eyes of truth certainly makes it a whole lot easier to resolve, and resolve in a very powerful and a way that's beneficial for all of us.
Mm. But it's not necessarily the easiest thing to do.
Mm.
And sometimes love and truth is a hard thing to do, because it means, you know, saying the truth. And in many situations, saying the truth gets the finger pointed at you and gets people rejecting you. And when you say the truth of what you feel and know, you rock the boat.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's a challenging thing to do. Whoa, there's a huge thunderstorm here.
Yeah, it's a big lightning bolt as well. Cool. Now, we've got time for one more question now, Mira, and this one's from Susie in the United Kingdom. And this is a challenge that I've seen a lot of people actually go through on this journey as well, and I've heard lots of people actually share this common challenge. And Susie asks, what do you do about the loneliness and the isolation that occurs, which makes you feel distant and separate and disconnected from your former circle of friends and family? People are saying I've gone weird and they don't understand me anymore.
Well, Susie, I totally empathize with you, and I know exactly what you're going through. And basically, as we were discussing earlier on, the rapid growth in frequency and consciousness will make you at a different vibration, or will take you to a different vibration to your former circle of friends and your family. And there is no way of avoiding that. The soul journey or the awakening process, while we have the capacity to influence it through our intent, is actually a soul decision. So you can't make someone else wake up. They have to have decided that at a soul level. And it can be very painful letting go old friends that you dearly love and family, because you can see that at some level their soul has not chosen the same path of rapid awakening. And there's nothing wrong with that. Every experience is completely valid within the whole of creation. But of course, it does create what you described, that isolation and that loneliness. And basically, the only way forward is to find new friends, new people that resonate at your frequency. And there again, intent is important. Am I still online?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah?
Yeah,
yes, please. Yeah, okay. Very good sound. Intent, of course, is important, because when we put our intent to make new friends, then they come. And, of course, in this dimension still, we're still in the third dimension partially, so there is a lag period between your intention and the manifestation. But, for example, I went through a very lonely phase last year. When I split up with my husband, And I made a very clear intent that I would like to make some more friends, people that I feel very compatible with. And I felt lonely for a few months, and I let myself feel lonely, because also in the loneliness there is a place of surrender. And I think it's a good thing to be able to face our loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually the new friends do come. And, well, certainly I can say in the last 6 months I've met so many new friends, I feel quite overwhelmed in a way with all the love around me. So I just want to share that with all of you who are feeling lonely. You know, there are more and more of us who are going through this process of transformation, and we all need each other, and we're all here to support each other. And as Damien was saying earlier on, the internet is a fantastic way of connecting.
Absolutely.
And Damien's website is a fantastic way of connecting.
It is really interesting that the whole process of, I know for me, like moving into this uncharted territory, and I guess the real essence of People You Should Meet was born out of this whole concept of me feeling so fortunate to continue to keep putting footsteps on that path, and then all of a sudden all these amazing people emerging from I don't know where just to share insights and wisdom about how they've managed to reorientate and walk a new path. And I just felt so blessed to receive all that. And I often get to an end of a conversation and just say to the person that I had been speaking to, like if only we'd recorded that conversation, I'm sure there'd be so many people out there in the world who would love to listen to it and would really grow tremendously from sharing the insights that came through in that dialogue. And I guess the whole People You Should Meet was born out of that, from actually that place of surrendering and being open and just really connecting with so many wonderful people. And there are so many wonderful people out there in the world that will help you through this journey if you're open and willing to embrace it.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, Amira, we've come to the end of the call, and what an amazing landscape we've actually traversed this evening. And I have no doubt this conversation is going to continue, and I can't wait to actually get you back on the show. I know for many people at home, like just like me, they would have really resonated with the deep wisdom and the real authentic sharing of your own experience and your own journey, and we'll be totally fascinated about your work and actually finding out how they can stay in touch with you and find out more about your work as well. So I was just wondering if you could actually share with people how they can stay in contact with you and also how they can actually participate in your work further in the future.
Well, it's very simple. We have a website. It's centerforconsciousascension.net, and it's Center written the American way, so that's C-E-N-T-E-R. And you can contact us through the website, and we'd be more than happy to connect with you. And our website has got lots and lots of information about ascension and about light body activation, and there's actually lots of tools that are free on the website that you can just download and that are very helpful. And of course, you know, I offer the light body integration work, which is a series of about 5 or 6 sessions, which is about, as I mentioned earlier on, removing some of those energy structures that prevent the embodiment of divinity. But also there are a few processes which are about activating more of the divinity in the body and embodying more of the higher frequency. So it's much more comfortable to go through this ascension process, because it can be done with grace and ease. And as a result of the light body work, you know, many of my clients have had amazing breakthroughs and you know, overflowing creativity and intuition going absolutely skyrocketing. but more from their in their personal experience, just a deepening and deepening of the experience of being divine, and of being one at one with all, and of being in that space of love and truth. And just one more little thing. We are running a training for anyone who feels really drawn to doing this work with people, to helping people to ascend and to helping people to wake up. And that training will be hopefully starting in October this year. And if anyone is sensing a real soul urging that they would like to do this training, we'd love to hear from them, because it's a very, very special training, and it's an initiation into more of who you are, and opening up of many different soul facets, so that you can embody and remember all those qualities of being an enabler of ascension.
Well,
to
share my own experience of your work as well, Amira. I just had phenomenal results from going through a healing session where some of those structures were removed for me. And I guess since that moment in time, my intuition has just become, even though it was strong before that, like it just feels like it's gone to a completely different level. And just recently when I've been sitting with people, it's almost like it's been so profound, the level of insight I've been able to share, just purely by having that channel opened even further to guidance. And it's largely come about as a result of just that real deep work that we've done together. And it was a really very magical and very elegant and just a very, very special process that you take people through. So if people are considering working with you one-on-one, I can certainly endorse the work that you do, and wholeheartedly urge people to step forward if they do feel that's where their soul is calling them to.
Thank you. Thank you, Damien. And just one more thing, the work can be done in person but also on the phone. So for all those people who are living all over the place, space is not a problem. Distance is not a problem. Thank you for that feedback, Damien.
My pleasure. Excellent, Amira. And I was just wondering, like, just to bring all the call together this evening, I guess for people out there that are on that spiritual path, I was just wondering if you had any closing words for them as they progress along their journey.
Well, the only thing I can say is I'm honoured to be part of all of us. I'm honoured to be part of this amazing ascension wave, awakening wave. And I think keep connecting with each other. It's very important. We need that. We need that support from each other. And keep surrendering into the places where it's the most scary to go. The more we surrender on our edge, that's where we grow the most. And I try to live that in every moment. And my life is extraordinary. It keeps expanding in ways that I would never, ever, ever have possibly conceived. And continues to amaze me on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can certainly echo those statements as well. Like, it is just such a magical journey when you're open to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Amira, thank you so much for sharing so freely this evening, and like I feel very, very, very touched actually to spend the last hour with you, and also to be a friend of yours as well. I think you're doing incredibly special work in the world, and like I guess the work has never been more important than now. Also so completely inspired by all the amazing questions that have come in as well, and just so many people have really given a lot of thought to their own personal growth, and by each and every single one of us embodying the real divine nature that we all possess. Like, it really does create permission for others to walk that same path as well. So I just wanted to say that I honour and acknowledge you, Almira, and I honour and acknowledge all of our very special friends listening in from all around the world.
Thank you, Stanion. It's been a huge honour to be invited here tonight. And I want to thank everyone who's been listening and who will listen to this in the future. And I hope that in some way my sharing has got you something.
Absolutely. Now, for those of you tuning in at home, this call will be made available on the recordings page tomorrow morning, totally free of charge. So I do recommend that you come back and listen to it many times. Also, if you have a friend that you know would love this call, please do take that step forward to share it with them. All of the calls on the People You Should Meet site are totally free of charge, and they're there to be of service to humanity. So by you taking that small step and actually sharing it with one of your friends, you may actually change their life forever. So I do encourage you all to do that if you do feel the urge. Great. Well, thank you all for being with us this evening, and we all look forward to having you on a People You Should Meet call very soon. And thanks again, Almira.
Good night. Thank you. Good night.
Take care.